Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 386 of the JV Club with my guest, the wonderfully funny, great human being, Nori Davis. He and I recorded a few weeks ago, and one of the things that happened was that we lost his side of the MASH game for the first time that we spoke. So we decided to reconnoiter and do a MASH game in addition to the previous MASH game. So you'll hear that explained during the podcast. I don't think any of you should be afraid that you won't understand what's going on. He's so great. Okay. And then I also want to just acknowledge a couple of quick notes. I don't always get as on top of this as I want to with emails, but Samantha sent a wonderful note. And Marit, I don't think it's Merit, but M-E-R-I-T, Merit, I'm going to say, because you are in a different wonderful continent and country. I loved your email, and I just appreciate you. I appreciate all of you. And that's it. Please enjoy this episode. Let's get into it, won't you? Where are you? Are you in LA?
No, I'm in Yonkers. Yonkers, New York.
Oh, you're in Yonkers. Okay.
Yes.
you guys are doing a little better than we are, right?
Yes, yeah.
New York
really wasn't messing around, man. I was talking to my aunt the other day, and she told me the subways are like clean. You know, the subway. She said you could see your face in the chrome. I said, what?
Whoa.
I said, shut up. Now the subway. She sounded like the subway like a damn amusement park. Like, you got to go see the ride. You got to go see the 2 train. You got to. I'm like, what? The cyclone, nigga? No. The 1 train be going up and down. It's clean. And they be having shoes. They do your shoes and everything. I'm like, all right, auntie. Okay. So I didn't get a chance to check out the new Avengers. Avengers. The Great Avengers MTA.
Oh God, that's hilarious. The shit that has come out of this, you just never know.
Right.
Now it's a glorious sight to behold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you're safe.
Yeah, I'm good.
As we continue to fumble our way through this time.
Yeah, we're doing the best that we can.
Yeah.
And everybody's staying safe. And, you know, hopefully more people have empathy to, like, this is an actual virus. People are dying from it. And just because you don't have it and not in contact with nobody don't mean you can just say, hey, you know what? I don't even want to do this no more.
Yeah, this is awkward. I should have told you. I feel it's a hoax. I don't believe it's real.
You don't believe it's real?
What if I were that person?
Oh. I mean, if you was, I have a conversation with you. I ain't going. You know,
I appreciate
I ain't going to ban you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I think where the lines get blurred, like, everybody just wants to be heard. So if it's just like, if you think it's a hoax, like, I'm not going to shame you for that. Just be like, why do you think that? And then we have a conversation. You did.
I appreciate that.
Of course,
I appreciate that. I think you're right. I mean, I think that's a lot of what we've seen and been, like, kind of horrified by, I think, is, like, the sort of, like, no, all conversations are over. You are either this or you are this, and never the twain shall meet.
You're an idiot. You're the worst. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like, then we can't really come to a common ground of just understanding. That's it. I think both sides just want to be heard. So if you and plus I got cousins that think it's a hoax too, and I talk to them too. It don't mean I don't like them or love them the same or different. Right. You dig?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Like, yo, it's the 5G's, man. I'm telling you, the 5G towers and stuff. I'm like, look, I'm just going off my best friend and his family had it. And they got through it, so I know it's real. So that's all. I go off of that. So,
oh man. So your buddy had it, and
his family. Yeah, they got.
Did they get real sick?
Hell yeah, very sick, man. Couldn't breathe, and went to the hospital. They turned them back, and they did every remedy, everything you can think of in the internet, putting onions in the socks and all this other stuff, because it's the type of virus where there's nothing, there's no cure. You can go to Google page 10. It's just like, look, refer to page 1. We ain't got nothing.
right.
So, very scary.
Have you had those conversations since where it's like, how do you, it's so scary when someone says you have this thing that may or may not kill you. We just don't know.
Exactly.
How do you process that? Do you process that?
And that's the fear. That's like the whole fear him and his parents went through, because his parents got it and he got it. His sister works at the hospital, so she brung it home. And then the whole house, so they all quarantined. And this is the beginning. This is the very, very beginning of it, you know, when it was really, really scary and bad. So, you know, I go off of that, and I keep telling the story. And you know what? The way you think it's not even your fault, too. Like, media is really not concentrating on, like, the people's stories of the people who passed away from it and what they're going through during the virus. And not enough of that is talked about. So, you know, if there's no awareness, people are not going to know, like, if it's real or not. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So he's good, you know. His father's still like scared and stuff, and you know, but you know, they're taking the necessary precautions of just like social distancing and like have a small little, you know, have their family over, like real small, like the people that's in the house, and then, you know, just wait it out until hopefully a vaccine. But all you can do is just be safe. And I think New York did a real good job of trumpling it, and everybody respecting like the boundaries. But everybody else, like, you know, smaller towns or even LA, like, I get it. People, I guess it's hard for people just to sit with themselves. Like, yo, I want somebody to fucking serve me. I'm over this. It's like, look, I know. I know mommy and daddy took your toys away. But look, this is a life or death situation. Yeah. So it's a battle between that. So I understand both sides, what people going through.
Absolutely. And also, you know, the obvious sort of like the various bubbles that we all kind of live in. The bubbles look different. They might be different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't have a job that I could still show up to, that I needed to pay to support my 6 family members who live in the same house as me. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, makes social distancing really hard. And like, you know, there's so many different factors that play into like what your exposure level is going to be and all that kind of stuff, that
exactly,
that, you know, it's stupid not to, you know, understand it. And I understand that it's hard to wrap your head around the possibility of it happening to you or someone you know. Then thinking about like, oh, the garment district in LA has had some real explosions of COVID. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
Like
yeah.
those poor folks, you know, they're going into environments that you and I would be like, no, thank you.
No, not at all.
I don't want to work there when everyone in the world is healthy.
Exactly.
You know, and the craziest thing was seeing some of these, like, I don't know how I went down this rabbit hole, because it's not, they weren't people I sort of follow, and I don't spend really any time looking around on social media anyway. But seeing like pictures of like some dudes in, you know, Nashville or Phoenix or maybe both on a comedy tour, like real recently.
Oh shit. Really?
Within the last couple of months, just pictures of the fans sitting in crowded tables, like all next to each other. Nobody had masks on or anything. It genuinely felt like a different America. It was like, wait, when were these pictures taken? You just keep looking down at the date. Like, this must be a repost from like, no, this is nope. 2 days ago. What?
Yeah, man.
It was very surreal. I mean, I presume you have not been going out into Middle America and stand up.
Hell no. You know me. I just got my quarantine album. You know where I'm at. So no, I'm not going to Middle America anytime soon, because Middle America don't even know how to act. They are really on their own merit, and it feels lawless, and it feels irresponsible, and it's just like no lack of empathy for other people in other states. So
Yeah.
So if they want to be on that, I ain't got nothing to do with that. And if comics want to go out there and do that, that's them too. That's their choice. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Yeah. So nah, I'm not traveling out anytime soon. I'm going to Atlanta though next week to shoot like a little commercial. But they have like precautions of everything what they doing, and then just going to visit my brother out there, and then that's it. But other than that, George is starting to like, well, he's in Atlanta, so George is tripping. So just, you George know, just got George is tripping. Everybody, you know, they just opened up too early. I mean, shoot, the mayor got it, you know, and the government is like, all right, my bad. So it's like, come on. Like, it's real. It's real. So.
Yeah. Do you have that, the itch to do, are you a comic who does kind of have the, I mean, I guess most great comics have it because it takes, you know, so much work to get your material to a place that you like it, and getting to, you know, understand and like vibe with different kinds of crowds and what they're into and what they're going to think is funny. Do you feel the absence of doing shows, or are you more like me and you do that a little bit, but really, I know I'm not a stand up, but then the rest of the time I like to be at home. So I'm not.
Yeah. I think I got a good amount of all the passion and everything I wanted to do off the album. So right now, when I, you know, when you're a stand up, you know, I work for myself. So I gotta give you know, gotta give myself vacation days. So I feel like I'm just gonna chill out for the summer. But I have been like writing a little bit, you know, notes in here and there, but I've just been resting and chilling. So
good.
I think what I did during quarantine, I got it all out because, you know, they took, this virus took the clubs and the stage away like March.
Yeah.
So, and I was able to record in May. And once I did that, and that was everything, I got it all out there. And now it's just like, I'm good now. I'm gonna chill out and ride this out and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Because, you
how
know.
How did you, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Because then the summer is just going to chill out. Everybody's doing out. Some people doing outside stand up, and which is cool. But I'm going to gear up for winter because winter's coming.
And
so winter's coming. So we might be back. I might be back on Zoom performing. So I think I'm going to get the itch around there probably like in the fall.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
Well, tell me about the album. What you recorded in May? What did what was that like? Where'd you do it and everything?
Oh, so we recorded the album in the middle of quarantine at my boy's studio. I was going through a breakup, so because quarantine, that's one thing. It tested a lot of relationships. Either you was gonna make it or not. So. Yeah. I was one of those that did not make it and happily didn't make it. And that's fine because it's just like, all right, I can't keep running from like the pain in this relationship. So bounced and went to a studio. I just crashed at my boy's studio, quarantined there. And then we recorded it right there in Brooklyn. And this is, I think, a week after George Floyd was murdered. So it was a good energy of like, of getting fans out to like want to see and laugh and have some escapism. And also since the end of April, I have been doing multiple live at the Comedy Trap House, which is called. I've been doing those Zoom shows to build up the material. Mm-hmm. So I did have people like up on it, like, oh shit, you're gonna record album? Okay, cool. So I just, you know, released like a link and, you know, have built a mailing list and I did it right there in my homie's studio and did two shows, a 7 and a 9. And it was cool. I'm really happy with it. It was really good. It was really cool.
I just want to say, to give my personal plug of knowing your stuff and having the pleasure of seeing you live. You and I met at Outside Lands last year.
Yes,
I co-programmed the comedy tent. So, because I do Sketchfest. And
that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
And it was like such a it was so crazy because we were so excited to have you, and we were so excited to have Nori Reed, and then we had like two Noris that what are the chances?
That was
like
classic.
One's a boy, one's a girl, slightly spelled differently, said the same, and on the same show.
I love Nori.
Love Nori too, and you were so fucking good. You're so funny.
And so I was
so excited when I got Catherine's email about the album, and I like could not have replied faster. She was probably like, "Whoa, this I only hit send like 30 seconds ago." I was "I want Nori on the podcast."
Yes, you're so
good. You're just like one of those comics that God, you're just you're never pushing, and I don't mean that to insult comics who have a more pushy energy sounds super negative, and that is not what I want. But sometimes there's a more
talk your shit, girl. Let them know. This 2020 change is coming.
I pick the saddest, smallest, least important battle. I am not going to stand. I am going to Karen this out
stand
right now.
For that.
I am
going to
Karen
that.
Out right now.
No,
I don't,
need.
Do
Karen.
I'm Karening so hard over comedy.
Don't.
Do not push your jokes on me. I will talk to the club owner. I will tell them that I don't need to be sold your jokes.
I have so many complaints about this. Go ahead. No. Go off, Janet. Go off.
Oh my God. Listen, everybody's a different cup of tea for everyone else, whatever that means. And you are my cup of tea. So I was very excited. And I was like, this is a person that we are going to be like hearing a lot from and knowing and seeing do stuff. So I was psyched that you did the album, that you were able to do it even with everything going on. So,
I want to say thanks. Thank you so much. I want to give praise to you, Janet, and everybody at Sketchfest. Like the way y'all handle Outside Lands was fire. Like you set us up to win, like a whole tent, and you set that environment. And I think that's all stand-up needs, is just to be set up. Just set us up and we can knock it down. And it was beautiful. Like it was a tent, it had seats, and it was closed off, and all you can really just hear is the bass from Lil Wayne's concert.
That's
but other
right.
than that, it was fucking flawless. I had such a great time.
Good.
I had such a great time. It was I love y'all for sure, forever. So that was the same thing with the Zoom shows. I was just trying to like just set myself up, and we had a DJ in the beginning, then I had a comic after the DJ, and then I would do like 30 to 35 minutes, and then that's where I was like working out the material on Zoom.
That's great. Where'd you grow up? Did you grow up in Yonkers?
Yep. Born and raised here.
Nice.
Right there. St. John's Hospital, a couple blocks away from where I'm living right now.
Shout out to St. John's.
St. John's. Shout out to St. John's. You know what I'm saying? Had the kid. mom's and dad were here, and my mom's is up north now. So, grew up Yonkers, and then went to college in Delaware for 2 years, and then came back and went to school in Brooklyn, Pratt Institute. And that's where I discovered comedy. I think that was when it was when college gigs had stand-ups, and it was interesting how the first comic I saw was Ben Bailey, and I just remember him just killing it. It was like it was a comedy show in a hangar. It was like a huge hall,
wow,
high ceilings, and I just remember him ripping off of it, and I was dying laughing. I was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So it really was like you in the audience being like, wait a minute.
I was in the audience like
this.
This is the greatest thing ever. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I started taking classes secretly from my mom. Like I got my dad, like, you know, I had divorced parents. So, you know, you can tell one parent one thing and the other one don't know. So I was just like, yo, dad, yeah, I need 300 for books. And he was like, all right. And he just cut me a check. And I would use that 300 and give it to the Comic Strip Live, and I took their comedy class.
You were, listen, that's a class, man. That's a class. Yeah, you were absolutely educating yourself.
It's an elective. I don't know what the problem. It was my own. It was an off-campus and elective. That's what I call it.
100%. 100%. You've already paid that back, whether you gave him the money back or not. That money's been paid back by now.
Sure.
Easy. So you're good. Were you, this is like the saddest question, but like, were you funny when you were in high school? were you quietly funny?
Were you the class clown?
Yeah. Nah. I so avoided saying those exact words.
Nah, you good. No, I was like real chill, and I was very talkative. I was that very talkative, loved laughing, and didn't love doing any educational stuff. I just loved laughing and making people like vibe out with my homies, and we wear a lot of clothes and be flashy and shit. So this is like the time when the sidekick came out. So I had my sidekick, so I'm just flipping that screen and just texting girls like, what's up? And they like right next to me. It's like that. So
it's me from the future, from my
exactly.
sidekick.
Exactly. Yep. So just wearing like flashy clothes and my sidekick. So I wasn't like trying to be the class clown. Nah, I was just like real chill and just very talkative. So a lot of teachers just tell me to be quiet and like, you know, shushing me because they trying to do the lesson because I'm just trying to talk to the homie or a girl, whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, but high school was real chill. Yeah, it was chill.
Did you, was it a decent school?
It was public school. Public school. This is the time when, the white kids got taken out, and this is like the beginning of gentrification. Where like, well, the white, where'd Johnny go? Johnny was the homie. What happened? It was me.
Like they
Johnny,
got raptured.
Jeff,
they got raptured,
yep,
and just their gone. Clothes were left. You're like, wait all, a minute, no, someone was driving that car a second ago.
We talking the late 90s. Cause I'm class 20, 2001. So like, yeah, so 99, 98. 2000, them white kids was gone, so they all went to private schools and Catholic schools. So the schools did start to get bad because it was like mostly all black and Spanish, but you know, we all maintained and did what we did. So, typical like fights during like, you know, pop up little fights because of middle class and poor kids just like in a system that's just not designed for them to win, you know, just frustration. That's how it goes. So
you didn't have any like white savior Michelle Pfeiffer type teachers who came in and turned their chair backwards and were like, now listen, I'm gonna give you some tough love.
Yeah, that was all of them. We had an assistant principal, Miss Malik. She was that. Like, look, y'all keep playing with me, I'm going to suspend all y'all. We was like, all right, Miss Malik tripping. All right, let's just, you know. Of course, that was every teacher back then because, you know, they just surrounded by all these minority kids and really trying to help them in their situation in the neighborhoods that they lived in and that I lived in Yonkers. It definitely was a lot of, but, those teachers, like, you can really tell they cared for us and we cared for them too. So it's probably even harder now because I know my cousin, she's a teacher and she likes this COVID because she has teenage kids, like, you know, 14 to 15, and they think they grown and you know, so that it's she likes this quarantine. She's like, look, just do the work and that's it. But like in schools, it is hard for them to listen or to even care. They only think she would tell me these stories like she's trying to reach to them, but they like they don't let them in because they just closed off and they have such bad situations at home. It's hard.
My dad was a high school teacher and he really did have I joke about those teachers who come into those environments and try to make a difference. Like, I mean that with all love because you know, he was very much one of those. Like, he had the seniors who, I mean, he really did have this, you know, he had the honor student seniors and then he had the kids who were flunking out. And he was that senior
high school teacher who would like find out that some kids just had never learned to read, you know, that like those stories are very real. And so, and he really did. It was like he clearly is like, oh, yeah, I love my honors kids. Like, they're fine. That's kind of boring. These are the kids that like I want to get, like, how do I reach them? What can I, what books can we talk about? Like, what are you into? Let me find something for you that you're going to want to show up for if you, you know, assuming that you can read and that you haven't had to like skirt through the system being you know, overlooked and ignored. Like, how do I get you to show up for this? Cause I want it for you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause I believe in you. And I think that's just one of the most honorable positions. Like, first as a teacher, just to be a person to like, I want to educate kids that are not mine. I mean, I just think that's fire. And then also try to reach them on a level to believe in themselves, even though at home they probably don't have the resources at all. Like, my mom's a retired teacher and she was big on it. She had second grade, third grade. Then my best friend, he was a teacher, but he stopped because he was in junior high and he wanted to switch different professions. But they really, and he was in the Bronx, so it's I just think it's a beautiful thing, and how they're just so underpaid and devalued and not getting the budget that they need to and the resources. Like, my mom bringing snacks, that's what some of those kids, that was their meal for, their lunch, you know. And it's I really think they're just hopefully the state's put more funding into that, you know, and I just try to make them laugh as I can with my type of help. But I'm so pro teacher, like, and public school teacher and not private. I really think everybody should bend together and help everybody out to be as educated as they can so they can make it better. Like, these are the fucking kids that are going to like try to help us put us in nursing homes that are better.
I know. It seems so short-sighted, and it is, you know, it's short-sighted and it's tunnel vision to only be worried about your own kid or your sister's kid or whatever.
Survivor the fittest.
But like, you just brought up something that's been in the conversation about the COVID stuff too, right? Which is like, some of these kids are in situations where school's the best thing they got to show up for. You know what I mean? Like, how do we take care of those kids? Cause they may not be they're not able to hop on Zoom and, like, you know, like,
don't even have the parental support, and the, you know, the parents, they don't have their own support, they trying to figure it out. It's just so hard. I my heart bleeds for them, but I'm just optimistic, like, you know, I hopefully it's gonna get good, because it just can't be so bad for so long. It can't be like that.
How did you feel about, you mentioned George Floyd and the timing of the recording and stuff. How did you feel like when that started to play out in a big way in the middle of everything else? Like, what was your reaction?
Pain. Pain, just happy. Happy that the world has woken up, but hate that, you know, it had to be him.
Yeah.
For his life, like, there was so many multiple lives. It you think about it metaphorically, he's like our Jesus. He sacrificed and it sacrificed his own life to make everybody wake up on this global protest, which is great. And I hope, and I, you know, everybody just keeps protesting, keeps changing, and keeps and this is the change we need. And it's just sickening that, you know, Black Lives Matter is just so dumb. We have to argue that. But then you see people that do argue that, and you could just see the insecurities and the fear they have, thinking like, I don't know, Black people are going to like, we're going to take over because of slavery. It's like, we're not. We just want an apology and leave us alone. And we want to vote. Like you. We just want the same opportunities. Motherfucker, like, and like, you know, everybody in this world, they playing Monopoly. We playing the game Sorry. So it's like, we want to switch the fucking game. just switch the game. So that's how I feel about it. So it's sad. It hurts. And it's so much pain to see us to go through that. And like that type of trauma of like watching. It's like, I had to like turn social media off, because you just see. And then Aubrey and then Breonna Taylor and like all these other victims coming up. It's just like this Black trauma porn, and then So it's like I encourage people, like, yes, donate and protest and also amplify Black voices that are here, like, you know, what you're doing right now with me. And there's so many other, like, very funny Black people and talented Black people out there that are alive, and, you know, we can help them out, which is great. So that's the train I'm on. And I find balance, you know. Sometimes you gotta shut social media off and go do some push-ups. So you know, so indeed, you gotta disconnect and have some self-love, and then just, you know, have that self-love and know that everything's gonna be okay down the line, and just focus on, like, what's in front of you. And my way of protesting is bringing joy to protesters and everybody. Like, you know, we all in this together, and we all got to love each other, and we all got to, like, fairly and have empathy for everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully the older white people die, so then older white people
go. Oh, my God. Hopefully they do. What if they don't?
There's, oh, my, like, God.
They, right? Upload, like, their consciousness to the internet, and then they still are in charge.
Right? They're like a whole Siri. They're like all series and shit.
It's like, that's, oh, the horror. God. That's the new horror movie. The new, right, horror movie that Nori Davis needs to write for us is a horror comedy about the old white people finding a way not to die and to continue to, like, be the stumbling block of any progress.
Right? It's, oh my God. Let me get on my Jordan Peele shit and get that going.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's called Supremacist Siri. That's what it's called.
Oh, my God. You just did that. You just did that right now. God damn you. God damn you.
So you just, that's how I feel. You just take it day by day. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you feel like when you were growing up, is that something that your parents kind of instilled in you, or your friend groups? Like, what, like, do you feel like you've always been a bit of an optimist, or has that come with age?
I believe that came with age, definitely with a lot of rage and anger and escapism. And then I started getting into, like, cause I grew up in a church and I didn't like it. I couldn't stand it, going to church all the time. And then I got more into the universe and spiritual, and that was more healing. It made more sense to me of, like, having that balance. So, and having the laws of attraction, stuff like that. So yeah. I got into that, and that, having that attitude really helped manifest a lot of good things in my life. And I also use laughter to deal with the pain, because it's just like, I'm tired of crying, man. Let's laugh.
You bet.
So let's laugh. So let's laugh. And, like, dealing with all that's going on, and sickle cell, and trying to survive out here and make it for yourself. In this system that is doing exactly what it's designed to do,
yep.
You really have to make do what you have and play your hand and just play it well. So, yeah, I have that attitude because it's just like it's more satisfying, gratifying, and it doesn't cause stress.
Yeah,
and that type of stress might make you look old. So I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. As long as we agree, it's really just about how you look on the outside. You got to adjust the inside to make sure you still look really good on the outside.
That's right. That's right. Keep yourself looking young, fresh, and beautiful, and feeling good, too. It's all about feeling good, having a good mental health situation.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you mind if I ask what wasn't working for you about church? It's different for
everybody. Oh, yeah.
And I say that as a person who went to Mormon church, because I had to growing up.
Woo, so. Mormon church. Oh,
did,
man,
did I just get you? Did I win?
Yeah, yes, you did. Mine's just straight Christian church. You know, Christianity, and what got me about it was how, you know, praising the Lord every Sunday and every day, and then my brother was transitioning, and how and how closed off and how angry my parents were towards him. And I didn't get it. I thought, like, everybody's seen equally in the eye of God. But, you know, we're all God's children. But when it came to church, so I can see that they were just making up their own rules. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't even going off the Bible, because the Bible would say nothing about that, of who he is.
How old
were
you?
Why they neglecting him. And from there, I was just like, this is all bullshit. It just feels like all controlling. Like, and some people just need answers and they can't get the answers, so they got to lean on something. So,
right.
And that's the difference between, you know, a sheep and I don't want to say a wolf. I guess just a dog. just a regular animal. I mean, I ain't no wolf out here like trying to tear niggas up. I'm just trying to live, bro. I'm one of them, like, them stray dogs that just be on the highway just walking.
That's right. Minding his own business. No need to.
Exactly. Mind his own business. Just mind his own business. Just chilling. That's what I hear, man. Yeah. So it's just like you got to find your, you are your own leader, and some people can't get there. Yeah. So I that's what got me religion. I was just like, I don't like how they following it. And then plus they still do scandalous, evil shit. Just right. And they hide behind this beautiful, perfect fog that can't be proven. I mean, you know, I'm not going against anybody who ever listened to this. Whatever your religion is, good for you. Whatever you need to get you through the day. But it's like, you can't prove, anything. Because he never pulled up. Like, there's not like Jesus in the back heckling a pastor. Like, I ain't say none of that. And he's just going off a book that was written by another person that has the same color or maybe different color skin than them, and blood and heart and all that stuff. You know, so it's the greatest magic out there.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
Right. It's the greatest magic out there, baby. Abracadabra. Amen.
How old were you when your brother was transitioning?
When he was transitioning, I was 26, 25.
And how old was he?
He was 22. Okay. 22, 20. Yeah.
You're younger,
Younger bro. Yeah, we're 5 years apart. So he was in college, and it was just so fascinating, like helping him through that. And only thing I was just sad he was doing it, because it's like, man, come on, man, you black, you got sickle cell, you gay, and you want transition. It's like, bro, like, how many? You start in the game negative 50 points. Now you want to add on another negative 20?
Yeah.
But that was my...
so hard, yeah.
Yeah, that was my feeling, but, you know, that's just my joke about it. But I was just like, no doubt, I got you. And so he's been doing great, transitioned beautifully, you know. And I was just bridging the gap between him and my mom and my family, like, you know, that's correcting their pronouns and saying, you know, that's still your child, doesn't work, don't worry about it, you know, all that stuff. Sure. And I'm just glad it never got bad to the point where like she banished him or anything like that. It was just like, was just that controlling, like, I wanted a daughter. And I also understand my mom's side too. I understand the heterosexual side of like, I wanted a daughter, I wanted a son, why did they turn into this? And it's just like, I get that, I understand where you're coming from, but you know, that mother and son or father or daughter is a title. You know, in the end of the day, that's their own human being. They are their own person. So you cannot dictate what they turn into.
Yeah, 100%.
That's not your right. So that was me teaching her that. Like, that's just, you're not the boss. You're just the mother. You know, you're the mother. Yeah. You're not the boss of my brother. Me.
Yeah. Did you have context in your own life to address that, like where you had seen it before? Or was it like, hey, this is actually very easy for me because I love you and I'm going to love you and I love who you are and I'm happy for you, because organically that's like what you felt.
Exactly. No, I just organically felt that. I guess just a lot of empathy for him and just love my brother, or like, you know, my sister back in the day, and didn't realize what he was going through. And I guess I just got that. I don't know. I guess that's just my heart. I guess it's just natural. I don't know where it came from. I grew up with my mom and my aunts, and, you know, I would see my dad a little here and there, but that wasn't his fault until later I found out, like, I was being weaponized against him, you know, just that there's a lot of those babies out there. That's going to be the next hour. I'm going to talk about these weaponized babies, controlled babies. And they turn into humans too, you know? So it's interesting how it played out real good. Like, I talk to him all the time and we chill out, and he's an awesome man. It was just making sure my brother be happy and he's good and always have his back. And, you know, I was his prime example because he was transitioning. So he was looking for like a male role model. So, sure. I was just like, yeah, you go to the barbershop. And he's like, yo, so do you like talk to people in there and stuff? Like, yeah, man, you just have a natural conversation. You just mold in there. Don't even worry about it. You just say your opinion and then you just get your hair cut. You get out of here. Like, it was so cool. It was like, it was
so
cool.
I have to say, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get like maudlin and overly like sensitive, like I'm watching a movie because that sucks. But like, that's a great, but that really is. Like, that's so lovely. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking when you said that, I sort of realized something that, of course, I already knew, but my cousin, I don't have brothers or sisters, but anybody who listens to the podcast knows because I've had him on, that my cousin Julian transitioned female to male and also did not have a great relationship with his dad. And my dad was like that guy. And I just hadn't thought about that until you just said that. And then I was like, oh, wait. Like Uncle Phil was basically Nori for Julian, like had those conversations, and like, cause he did not have somebody that he was like, hey, this is my dad or this is my uncle. Like, I mean, other than my dad, that's sort of, I think that's like what he thought of as like, this is what I like this person and this behavior. And like, if I can get something from that, I'll be good. And
I was like his mentor, teacher, but also like his brother, and I just loved him, and it was great that he got to pick up. And look at, you know, gay men, they're all a splitting image of black women. That's what they're doing. Every time I hear a gay black person or any gay man talk, I'm like, they sound like my aunt or my mom. So I'm just like, it's like, yeah, that's what they feel, who they are. But you also gotta have a reference. You have to have a reference of like who they want to be and who they feel they are, you know.
Right.
That's what they feel they are, so it's great.
Is this your same aunt who is single-handedly turning the MTA into a tourist attraction?
Yes, that is her. Yes, that is her. Shout out to Auntie Nadine.
Auntie Nadine. Shout out to you know what? I have a surprise for you. Auntie Nadine, could you come in here, please? Oh, I know this is going to seem weird, but I flew her all the way to my house in L.A. to surprise you in Yonkers.
I know that's not true.
I probably shouldn't have put her on a plane right now.
She can't figure out call waiting. What you talking about, Janet? She can't. She couldn't even get into the Zoom recording. I know she can't figure out how to get tickets. Matter of fact, even pick up the phone.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hurry Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGiver.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen.
I'm going to quickly make the explanation known to our listeners that your computer being very tired the last time we recorded,
so
and
tired.
Deciding that it needed to take an afternoon siesta 40 minutes into the podcast, but it picked a really good time.
These MacBooks, the pro stands for pro sleeping. They are so That's pro right. not sleeping right. and pro work not working. So
I think mine might be pro get real hot so fast that you can't imagine what's going on inside it to get so hot. Like, what am I asking it to do? I don't have that much open.
It's like
for it to be like
my old laptop was like that. It's like, look, you're on metal on metal. It's like I can't breathe. Why would they put my vents on my butt?
That's right. That's exactly right. as we had realized it ended up timing out really well because we had finished talking about regular stuff and we were moving into our MASH game. So I have for the listener a surprise set of preordained, in that we already went over them, MASH answers that I am going to add to the end of this new MASH game, thus creating the most immersive, almost virtual reality version of the MASH game that I have ever done in the history of doing this podcast.
I love it. Let's make history. So, that's all I'm about, making history.
Let's make history.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, now that I just said that, now I still want to ask you something else, which was, how has the response been to your stand-up special? Oh, I suppose I say stand-up special. It couldn't be more clear I'm not a stand-up, because I use all the wrong terminology.
The album definitely was special. I guess you refer to a special as like the video of it, but an album is definitely special too, man. So I accept all adjectives and pronouns. I accept them all.
Because you got write-ups and stuff, and I didn't talk about that as much.
Yeah, I got New York Times
last week, but you, yeah. I mean, that's so freaking, that's great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so we got Vulture's coming soon. Then we have Complex, we have New York Times, and we have Vanyard, and we just, okay. What's another one? They're up there. They're on my website. People can check it out.
You could start making stuff
Vice.
Up too, and no one would know.
We got
some,
Vice.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
not
Vice.
Bad.
So it was
like, if
cool.
you want to make up some different ones, you can make up some that are like,
oh yeah,
know?
We got pillow jelly.
Uh-huh.
They came in. We have plantscape. They liked it, which is interesting, and we
unexpected. It was unexpected. They realized a departure for them.
And this other application, Framework, that was a nice magazine.
Yep.
That's Martha Stewart's
yes.
extended
oh, yes.
extension magazine. Yeah, Framework.
It's that's when she gets super high.
Yes,
that's when, and like she's hanging with Snoop. Then they start getting into the deep Framework material
yep.
of
yep.
the web.
You got
yeah.
it. Yeah,
fantastic. Fantastic.
So I'm excited.
Okay, good. No, you should be. That's huge. Those are huge.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at this. I just want to make sure I remember, because now I just see our categories with like a bunch of little things scratched out and a bunch of other things circled. So I want to remember. It's very clear to me what most of these things are. So
okay.
I think I am in good shape. Oh God, you really did have such a good outcome. Man, you are getting, the fact that you're doubling up on this already arguably most outstanding results of a regular MASH game, and now we're adding more categories. This
I love
is getting
it.
Insane.
I love it. Let's build this world.
Just say I want you to describe yourself as very MASH wealthy.
Thank you.
When
yes,
you meet people.
I need the escapism. Let's get out of here.
What's your financial situation? I'm very MASH rich.
MASH
I'm
rich.
Very, very MASH rich.
This world
rich. That's hard to say.
That Janet made up, it's where I need to be. And it's who I am spiritually, but I can't never get there. So it's depressing.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a yin and the yang. Real yin and the yang situation.
Right, yeah. I made that sad.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, listen, please. Bring it. You can bring it all the way back around again. You can do whatever you want because we are living in a fucking crazy time, and every 5 minutes I have a new emotion. So,
everything's changing. Everything.
Everything's changing. Everything's changing, and it feels weird, and it's mm-hmm. supposed to feel weird.
Yep.
Okay, here is the first category of part two. First category, part two, three modes of transportation that you would like to have at your disposal that can be as specific as like, I want this type of car, or it could be, I want a zip line. I want to be able to zip line everywhere. You know what I mean? Like it could be any way that gets you from point A to point B, no matter how absurd.
Yes.
We're going to allow that to be a way you get around everywhere if you want.
Oh, I love this. All right. Three of those. Okay. I would love to get around. Number three would be definitely a roller coaster. Just, I come out wherever I'm at, and then a nice car comes, and there's always that person at the end that's like, all right, put the bars down and enjoy your ride. And then I roller coaster my way to either downtown, the city. It can go as far as I want. I would love
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
But
that's
not
a great, great one.
Yes. And all right, so that's number three. Number two would definitely be a chauffeur of a Rolls Royce Maybach. And I have a driver. Definitely right. always want to have, like, I love that, like, when TV shows, whatever, just like, yeah, we have a car for you. It's just like, thank you so much. And
yeah.
there's that person with the sign that says Davis. It's like, this is it. I made it. This is all I ever want. How much does it cost to just have this person on my pay? I don't have to drive anywhere. Just, they're there. So it's a Rolls Royce and it's a driver. And I'm just like, yeah, let's go to Carvel. And he's like, for sure. And then beautiful. We just go.
Yes.
So chauffeur, driver in the Rolls Royce. And my great. Number one would be, no, I don't want that. I was going to think helicopters, but that was R.I.P. Kobe. I would not fuck with
that.
No.
That was R.I.P. Seems like years ago that happened in some ways right? And February. Then yesterday yep. in other ways. Yeah.
No, man. Like, that's just so. That's the only story I ever need to be like, I'm good with helicopters. I don't even care.
I know.
I don't even need that fascination. So let's do a. Oh, man. You know what would be cool? Like a big ass. I was thinking like a big ass bouncy ball, like you're in the middle of it and then yes. and it just bounces yes. you everywhere, but it could get scary because yes. like it, you can just end up somewhere you don't want to be, but it's very protected yeah. like anybody could try to stab it, it doesn't work. Only thing is like if it gets stuck in the ocean, then that's your ass, so I don't know, but I just feel I do want to be in a big ass protected ball and like a car hits me and then I just like thank you and then I'm like bouncing yeah. my way downtown or wherever I gotta go. So
or to a kid's birthday party with a bounce house yeah, where you bounce right. into the bounce house yep. and you're bouncing
so
ball.
I'm like protected inside and it's just but like right. I'm not moving everywhere but it's just like a beach ball and like cars yes. and trees.
I see
and,
it very clearly
yes
in my head.
And all the environment just gets me where I need to go. In what time? Who knows? But let's just hope I bounce to that direction of where I need to go.
Yeah. So time yeah. has lost all meaning, so it's fine.
Yep.
That is amazing. I don't want to get too in the weeds about getting meta on this game, but I also think you might be the first person into and including yourself, because you did not do this last time,
right.
where you were doing now a number 3-2-1 countdown.
Ah.
That is unusual, the 3-2-1.
Okay, wow, cool. Yeah,
I mean, this.
I feel like you want to do the least one, and then the number one is like, yeah, this is the one, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Countdowns
even
are
though
exciting.
None of that will matter when it comes down
it
to the totally weird process yeah. by which we arrive at what you get.
Yeah,
I still love it.
I just want to let, you know, the people know and the universe know, like, these are the three steps that I would like, you know.
Yes. Yes, you know what this reminds me of? Okay, this reminds me of like full-on like top 40 hit countdown shows.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and at number one,
and at
so
number
here's what I'm gonna
five.
Say
yes,
exactly, here's what I'm gonna say. You now take responsibility for a lot of people thought other groups, other singer-songwriters, other musicians did these songs, but you actually are responsible for three songs, beloved songs, and it's our little countdown. So this is going to be like your number 3-2-1 countdown of songs you get to now take credit for.
Wow.
As if you created them.
Really?
And recorded them.
Oh, that's yep. like that horrible Beatles movie. What was that one? He went back.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it
because everyone told me not to.
See, yeah, I just saw the trailer, but you could just tell. Like,
yeah.
You really made a whole movie about remake, but yeah. Anyway, here we are. So, songs I could take credit for. Oh, I love this. All right. Number three would definitely be Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity. Like, okay. Yep, that's me.
Souls of Mischief, great.
Yeah, Souls of Mischief. Number two would definitely be Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Like, yep, I made all that for right. the culture. And beautiful. I just want everybody to know that everything is going to be all right. Nigga, we going to be all right. And number awesome. One is, this is hard. Oh, this is hard. Number one would definitely be, I wasn't born yet, but somehow my essence and soul has made The Rubber Band Man by The Spinners. And my essence in the past helped those brothers write that song. And everything, and I'm the reason why it's on. That's my song, and
gorgeous.
It's me, Rubber Band Man. And, yep,
gorgeous. Next one You just made me think of it. Talking about take your essence back in time. I'm gonna give you the chance to go back in time.
All right.
To any time and place. It could be a specific thing you want to witness.
Mm-hmm.
It could be you're safe. Nothing's gonna happen to you. Yeah. I always have to put that in there.
Nice.
And so it could be like you're solving a mystery that no one knows the answer to. It could be just like I want to bear witness to this event.
Yeah.
Or just like, you know, I want to visit, you know, this the Renaissance or whatever,
of course,
just to see what it was like.
Oh, this is so good, man. There's so many places I want to go. Well, definitely I want to go back to Biggie's death and see that person who shot them, and yep. I want to go. So that number two is Biggie, number three is Pac.
Whoa.
Definitely want to knock those out
starting
the gate,
starting with two.
Yeah.
Got it.
I want to, so that, yeah, I definitely want to, yep, go there and just be like, see, I knew it, it was Puff Daddy, I knew it the whole fucking,
yep,
time.
Yep.
Nah. And number one would be I want to go back to high school, ninth grade, where I lost my gold chain that my aunt gave me for my birthday. And I want to know where the fuck did I put it? Like, I swear it was in the locker, yeah, room. It was right there. I think I left it on the bench, or I had it on the bench for a little bit. Then I put my shirt on and I went back. It was gone. Or I think I left it in my locker. It, like, even, yeah, the things I'm telling you right now, I still haunt me to this fucking day because I loved it so much. And I think it was the third chain my mom and aunt bought me, because I was, then after that third chain, I was notorious for losing things. And so they stopped, mm-hmm, buying me jewelry for the rest of my childhood, and I was just like, I love chains, like, and I didn't have a chain until like recently, like 3 years ago. I bought myself two chains for me and my friend, and I still wear it to this day. So yeah, I would like to go back there.
I'm so glad that didn't end with you losing it. That's very
exactly
good. That's very good news.
So I want to go back.
We gotta get you that gold chain.
I want to go back and see where that gold chain was. I loved it, and maybe it was stolen. So now I can get answers. I used to say that. I used to curse, yeah, the heavens, like, I can't wait to die, and I'm gonna ask God, where did that chain go? And his guy's like, probably gonna be like, well, this person stole it. They were right there the next to you the whole time. Maybe it was stolen, or like, where did I
leave
it?
You didn't see
it.
You didn't see him wearing it every day,
yeah,
afterwards.
Right? I was so absent minded then, and it was, I hated it. Yeah, so that's number one.
Yeah.
Yep.
But also, like, side note, it sucks to have to change clothes, take a shower, and do all that kind of stuff at school. Like,
yeah,
I don't need another reason to lose something off my body,
right,
or like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? That's for any number of reasons. Could be stolen, could just be falls behind a thing. Like, I also did not need any more reasons to part with whatever I didn't want to lose,
drove
which was
me,
very much like a locker room thing.
Drove me crazy. And I think
I
definitely get it from my dad, because he still loses stuff, and he's like, did you see my glasses? I'm like, you just had it. And I'm like, that's me all day, so I know where I get it from.
I like to tell myself it's because I'm thinking deep thoughts, and I can't be bothered with the corporeal world.
All right, nice, that's a good way to do it.
All right, next one is going to be, you can, this is kind of like, is a good companion piece to time travel, but you can rock any look from any time period, any place, anywhere, that, like, in this reality, maybe if you were walking around wearing it, someone would be like, whoa, that's a look.
Mm.
That's not going to happen here. Everything is on equal ground, and everything is an equal level of comfort. So you can try whatever you want that you like the look of from any era or style or movie or whatever. Just like a look that you're like, ooh, I kind of wish I could do that, but I probably can't.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. I would definitely love to rock. Number three, anything in the 70s, the bell bottoms.
Yeah.
The high top, platform shoes. The jazzy, like, Studio 54 ready, baby.
Yeah, great.
And that's number three. Number two would definitely be a nice Spider-Man outfit, you know, like a realistic Miles Morales outfit, just walking around,
yes,
with the hood and everything, spandex. Nobody judges me. I'm just comfortable.
Yes, indeed.
So it's kind of like a full body yoga pants. Like, I see women in yoga pants. It looks so comfortable. It's like, but we can't, you know, masculinity, we can't wear that shit. But it just looks like, it's just so airy, you know? It just feels like it's so airy. And number one style I can just wear any moment, not being judged. I'm gonna have to go with crisscross. Like, I could just wear my jeans backwards, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just jeans backwards, pockets in the front, back pockets in the front. Jeans hanging off my ass a little bit.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. That was like, because that's definitely one of those things where it was such a choice that was clearly just like an identity choice of like, you'll never forget who we are. But like the breakdown of that is like, why? Like, there's no.
Cause that shit is fire, man. Black people, when we wear something, that shit is fire, man. There's no questions about it. We just did it.
I love it.
So it's
I love it.
And plus, I was
inside
then
out
for,
backwards.
Yep, I was in for Halloween. I love it. I was in for Halloween. So I think it sucks that like even this not even sucks. It's like this category is like Halloween is the only holiday where it's like judgment is off. You know?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You can dress like a slut. You can dress like crisscross. You can dress like a monster, anything you want.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I like this category and I would dress like crisscross all the time.
It's Halloween. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Three. What's the next one I'm going to do? I'm looking. I'm reviewing the ones that we've already done. Three Sick. TV shows that Ooh. You can jump into and just hang out with cast characters, the characters inside.
Of course. I love this. So number three for sure, Ninja Turtles. I'm in there, man. Just like Ninja Turtles, the movie. When I came out in 1983, just hanging out with all the turtles and probably learning some shit. And I can fight. Hang out with Raph. I think I just relate more to him. He's like the black Ninja Turtle. Love him.
Uh-huh.
Number two for sure. I don't know number two. I'll go to number one. Number one is definitely Family Matters. I would be in that world. Love Carl Winslow, Steve Urkel. And try to hook him up with Laura and let Laura know, like, yo, this is your man, yo. But I'm gonna go date the other girl that you don't want to be with, and because Laura is your one, and I'm gonna date the other girl because like I'm gonna try to holler. She's great. I forgot her name, man. She passed away years ago, but I forgot her name. But
I can't remember either.
But yeah, so Family Matters is one. Number three is Ninja Turtles. Number two. Characters I would hang out with in their world. Let's see. Yeah, something with Marvel's Avengers, but that shit looked too dangerous. I don't want to do that. that's too damn dangerous. Let's hang out in Eddie Murphy's Harlem Nights, that Renaissance, that Black Renaissance in Harlem with the Tommy guns and the 1920s card and everybody's wearing a suit going to the Coca Club and the Cabana, you know. Great. Cabana, that era is fire.
No, listen, that's not a TV show, but I am going to give
that's
it
a
to
movie.
You.
Oh, that's a movie. You're right.
I am going to give it to you in part because I've written it down now and I really don't want you to make me cross this out because that then I don't have any room. But I also
sure?
want to say,
all right,
yeah, I'm very
you,
sure.
I can give you a different world. That's a dope college. I can do. All right. No. All right. So
you know what? You know what? No. Listen, we're breaking all the rules right now. Give me a fourth. Give Woo! Me a fourth.
A fourth.
That's gonna change this whole dynamic
it
of how
is.
It works. At
well,
the
you
end.
Thought I was gonna go a different world. I'm gonna go Living Single. I would hang out with all those ladies and Living Single. They remind me of my aunts, and I grew up with women. And I would just chill on the couch and just laugh all day at Maxine Shaw and Khadijah and all them just being funny. And when they go to bed, I just leave and I will come back later. Yep.
So respectful.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Next one is three. Oh, God. I just had it. What was I going to say? Three. Oh, I was so excited about it. What was it? Janet, come on. Go.
It's coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. It's the extra room in the house. So where you are now, there's a secret door somewhere in your place and you open it up and it opens to whatever extra like room you want. It doesn't matter if it's like huge. It could be like a gym or a spa or a forest or a beach. It's the magic room that is somehow inside your house, just regardless of what it opens up to.
Oh my God, that's great. Okay, so just one spot, right? Or are we doing three again?
Three different places.
All right.
Or three different uses, whatever, you know.
Three different uses. Okay, so I open up the closet in my room and it takes me to a meditation temple in Japan. and I go there.
That's so good.
I meditate.
Wait, was that one, two, or three?
That's three. That's three. Okay. Definitely right. Japan. Right. Yeah. Great. Meditation place. I don't really meditate that much, but if I know this door goes to Japan, I could just chill here and there's a monk that's just like, welcome, Nori.
Yeah.
It's time to meditate.
How's the rest of your place doing?
I'm like, fuck yeah.
Which this is inside of. Yeah.
Exactly. Number three, Japan, meditating temple, kind of like become an airbender. Number two, open it up. And of course, we have the coast of what was it that was just. Let's see, some beach, some sunset. Where can we go? Is Bermuda a good one? There's somewhere that is just. Let's go Aruba. Yes, let's go.
Oh, great.
It goes to Aruba.
And that's number two?
That's number two. I can watch the sunset and watch the sunrise and then just close the door.
Beautiful.
And go on the beach if I want. And number one, baby. Open the door, open the place, and I am in the streets of Paris, just going to a boutique, go fashion, because I'm tired of being in America and all the fuck we have is Zara and H&M. So I could just open this up and just walk around, see some, like we said before, some vintage shops, any boutiques, any new fashion designers, and just cop something and then come back. Yes.
Perfect. Great. Okay. Next category. Three people who are alive right now that you can live in their actual body and brain for a day.
And they're alive right now?
Yeah. You could do, it's not like a body swap because I don't want whoever it is getting in and messing with your business.
Yeah.
So you're just like, we're just going to pretend like it's at night, you're asleep. But then you get to go live a day in the life of blank three.
Oh man, this is like some Get Out shit. I just want to be. I want to be you.
I'm afraid you may be right about that.
Right? That kind of. Well, so what? Let's play. All right. So I would love to be in the brain of. I'll go with number three. I'll go with Michael Jordan. I really love his determination and his work ethic. It's probably definitely pretty vile and toxic, but it's something that's like, what is that drive, man? Let me see if I can feel that drive.
I hear you.
And I feel like I do have that drive, but I wanted to see what's the extreme of it. Felt like he's the extreme to the point where you push everybody around you and it gets borderline abusive. So I want to see that. Definitely. Let me see. Who is maybe I'm trying to think of a dope author, a great writer, but none are really popping in my head. I was thinking James Baldwin, but he's not alive. So somebody alive. Let's go Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino. I want to be in his brain of how he just detail writes all scripts and the descriptions and the action and how it comes to him. And I probably imagine it's probably how I come up with stand-up jokes. You just see it and you're just like, whoa, it's just so vivid, you know? So Quentin Tarantino.
That's really interesting. I think that is actually the best explanation of imagining how his brain works that I've heard.
Dope.
Not like people sit around talking about how his brain works.
Yeah,
but
exactly. I mean,
it feels right to me.
I mean, as a creative, I would imagine. I don't know. It's interesting. I hear sometimes people when they think they hear a voice talking, or do you just think? Did you ever hear that scenario before? Right now, is there a voice in your head while you're talking to you that's hearing me, or are you just hearing me straight up? Yeah. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It does make sense because I won't get into it, but I've had a lot of weird metaphysical existential crises like that where I'm like, why do I look like I look like? Why does my why do I have a tongue? Who am? Why do I like what I like? What is me? All that kind of stuff. I've gone too far down that road. So,
but believe me
when I say agreed. Is it what is it? You? Is it the voice? Who's hearing it? Who's processing?
Are you hearing? I guess what I'm saying, are you hearing yourself saying that stuff? Is there a voice?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's me too. Okay. cool.
100%.
There's people that don't have that. They just, it's blank. Their listening is blank. And then they talk and there's nothing saying, like, there's no filter. You know, like my voice is a filter of like, like while I'm talking to you right now, the voice in my head is going like, that's good, Nori. Good answer. Cool. Good answer. What's another one? Ooh, say this one. Like, it's like,
I'm glad that's what the voices say.
It's like a Men in Black type little alien within the person. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. And number one, person I want to live, they're still alive and be in their brain for the day would definitely be, let's go with a Jay-Z. I'll go like a Jay-Z. Yep, definitely great. See how his business savvy is, and definitely Jay-Z back in the day, how he was just, words were just appearing in his head and he would write it down the track. Yeah. Any rapper, him or even DMX, is it always barking for him? Maybe it's always barking. And then the words come, you know?
I would
love to see how a rapper just forms words so fast and that their vocabulary bank.
Yeah,
great. Yeah, so Jay-Z or DMX.
Okay, great. And then last category, I'm purely spinning off of what you just said because I realize many of these are brand new to you. Just based off of like what you're saying is giving, you're doing all the work for me because you keep giving me ideas.
Sick.
As we go. Final category, three aliens from any world of like the alien world up to and including all the aliens in Men in Black. Three aliens you would want to meet.
Whoa.
And like kick it with.
Three aliens I want to meet and kick it with.
So, you know, it could be E.T. It could be Alf. It could be one of the aliens from Men in Black. It could be.
Okay.
What? Like, I'm real into the little guy who lives in Orion's belt.
Men in Black. Yeah, me too, man.
I want him to be alive. I want to bring him back and, like, chill with him.
Let's see. Okay. Damn, I'm getting all the violent fucking aliens. I'm getting aliens. I'm getting...
Please don't bring aliens.
Hell no.
I'm
getting Predator. I'm getting... Oh, come on, brain, chill.
Predator I could be sold on. Predator I could be sold on.
Hell no. I don't think he's cool at all. Let me think. Come on, give me... Think, Disney. Think. Let's see. Oh, Lilo and Stitch. Definitely that alien.
Nice.
So fucking cool. So fucking cute. And he just like, you know, the way he talks is fire.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that begs the question, is a gremlin an alien? I guess not.
I think that's always been a debate on the internet too. Are they aliens or they're monsters? And I think that it was ruled they're monsters. I think they're not aliens. Yeah. They're monsters. And gremlins is, I mean, the furry dude, but not the gremlins, man. Them motherfuckers is crazy.
they're real lewd too. they're not just like a menacing, they're also like, don't look under my skirt, you piece of shit.
like please stop all that shit. Let's see. The alien from, oh no, see, I got the aliens from Mars Attacks. They are not cool. Them niggas is...
Oh, they are really not cool.
They're not cool.
That movie is underrated, I have to say.
I love that movie. That's my
shit. It's so good.
Okay, my only one I have been saying was... what was the one I said? Oh, yeah, Lilo and Stitch, right? Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Number two would be Wally. Think Wally from Disney's Fire. He's like what we think Alexa is and Siri is. Nice to have a little robot with so much empathy just walking around. And let's see, the aliens from wanna kick it from, I know there's some aliens from are there aliens in, no, they're not. They're not aliens from there.
You have to tell me who you were thinking of.
I was thinking of the aliens, like any aliens in X-Men or DC. And
well,
The scrolls.
I mean, Thor is an alien, technically, right? I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Yeah. Like, no, he's not from.
He is from another planet. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Number one, Venom. Yeah, definitely Venom. He's a symbiote.
A symbiote.
I was trying to think of somebody in the comic book world, and I would like to, like, yeah, can I get a little symbiote myself? But it's like friendly, you know what I'm saying? And like,
yeah,
I would use it for as much talent and good as I can. So yeah, there
absolutely.
We go.
Absolutely. Well, it's gonna be interesting to see if you end up with a Spider-Man outfit, because then the two things are gonna go hand in hand.
Exactly.
And find out.
So there we go. Those are my three aliens to hang
out
with.
Okay. Give me a number between. No, you know what? Give me a number between 3 and 7.
5 all day. I love 5.
Oh my God, you did 5 the last time, so yep. I didn't trick you into anything.
Nope.
Okay. Hang on just a second. I'm going to just do this quick.
Okay, you got it.
I'm acting like we already, because in my head we already got the special information out when we first recorded, but the whole point of doing this again is that we didn't record it.
Yeah.
On your side. So while I'm doing this, please educate the fine people as to where they can check out the album and anything else that they need to know about you, which frankly is anything you have to offer out there.
That's
so
right. Okay.
Guide the people.
Yes, people. Thank you for listening to Nori Davis live at the Comedy Trap House. That is my album. And you can, anywhere you listen to music, you can hear my album. It's a stand-up album. It's on Apple Music. It's on Spotify, Tidal, any streaming services you can see. And definitely check out my other stand-up comedy albums, Too Woke, Home Game, and Away Game. And you can check me out on YouTube and follow me on Instagram at Nori Davis, NoreDavis. And give me a follow and let me know what you think of the podcast and my material, and hope it brings you some joy. And keep going out there protesting the best way you can. Protest, spread the word. Black lives do matter. And also love yourself. Love yourself, heal yourself, and don't transfer no more hate or hurt within your life, because that is exactly what's in this world. Nothing but transferred hurt. And we need to heal the hurt so then we can have a much better, empathetic world for all. And I think laughter is definitely one of those. So definitely make sure you listen to my material and amplify other Black comedian voices out there and other Black businesses you can. That's a great way to also protest instead of alternate to donating and fighting and emailing too. So keep up the great fight, people. Love you. Nori Davis. Peace.
Oh, God. I might need to check in with you once daily, basically, is where I'm going with this. That's the other thing I want to ask. When people listen to the album, are they listening to it? Are they paying for it, or are they listening to it for free? Because I listened to it for free, but I didn't know if it was just because you're a publicist and I know each other.
No, well, I mean, if they're not listening for, because streaming is the wave. So if you stream it,
because
here's
what I'm getting. Let me be clear about this. What I'm getting at is I want you to get money for being a comedian. So I just am wanting to know, like, if they're, you know, if because it's well worth the money. I just wasn't sure if it was
a thing
where it's like, yeah, you can just listen to it for whatever. Then I'd be like, where's your e-tip jar where people can be like, pay what you can, kind of thing.
My tip jar is Venmo, Nori-Davis. You'll see me wearing a Confederate flag hoodie, which I wore 4-5 years ago in Virginia. I found it in the store and I walked around with it and they followed me around the store. So I was trolling them in a Confederate hoodie flag, and that is my avatar on Venmo, again, Nori-Davis. Okay. And you can give me a tip if you enjoy any of my material. That goes directly to me. Okay. And I will be happy to buy some Sour Power straws and some orange soda, and I will be smiling. If I made you smile, make me smile. Let's transfer that love.
Fantastic. All right, I'm gonna start with a refresh of what we came up with for the first round of MASH.
Word.
And that includes first of all that you have the ability to, let's see, okay, you have a house in Atlanta.
Sick. Yes.
A beautiful home in Atlanta.
Love it.
You have a... Do you remember these?
Yeah, a little bit, but okay. You're refreshing my memory. Let's keep it. Let's go.
I'm like excited if you forgot any of it. Okay. So you have a beautiful house in Atlanta. You have unlimited delicious Kobe beef cheeseburgers.
Oh yeah, so good. And it doesn't even affect my body.
Unlimited Kobe beef cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. You have, oh yeah, I forgot about this. You are a fantastic piano player.
Yes, fire.
You can jump into True Blood.
Yes.
Whenever you want.
So good.
I forgot about True Blood. That made me so happy.
What are you doing, so good?
You have a life soundtrack that was created by Nirvana.
Nice. Yes.
You have the relationship, romance, and sexy times with Miss Nia Long from Love Jones.
So dope. Black love.
Black love. You have the ability to hang with your grandma.
Oh, yes.
Whenever you want.
Nice.
And you have the ability to heal people.
Yeah.
Inside and out.
Yeah, heal people from their traumas. Yes.
And I believe we determined that the way in which you heal them was more of a telepathy kind of scenario rather than like a laying on of hands.
Yeah.
Or like lasers coming out of your eyes. That's if memory right. serves.
Yep.
So it's a gentle healing that is happening
mm-hmm.
Without a lot of thunder and lightning on the outside.
Yes, sir. Yes. Love it.
Okay. So that brings us to round two.
All right.
Round two, you also have a house inside of Harlem Nights.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you could just go to that era of the Harlem Renaissance.
Love
and
it.
And you can chill for as long as you want.
Love it.
There and here in this reality, you have your own chauffeur with a Rolls, which feels like it fits very nicely in with that.
Yes, it does. Don't have to go. No, take me there.
Right?
Yes.
You have now we get into a little bit of a different era here, but whether it's here or at your house in Harlem Nights, you can rock the 70s wear, something fierce.
Nice. Blow their fucking like minds. Works. I would blow their minds with that.
Absolutely. I know they'd be like, what is that future material?
It's like, this is platform shoes, baby. Watch this move. I just do a disco move. Strutting down the street.
You have the ability to live as Michael Jordan.
No.
For a day.
Nice.
Feel what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to hang out with Venom.
Oh, shit. Fire. Yes.
Yeah, you got a good one.
That's a good one.
I feel like that's ultimately where it was headed. You needed Venom. You have the ability to open a door in your home and head right into that meditation temple in Japan.
Beautiful, man. Namaste. I've become an airbender. Yes.
That's right. Now, that's what I should have done. I should have asked you what elements you would bend other than air.
Tears. I can bend tears. I can make people cry. And the water comes out their eyes, and then I say, here's your emotion, and it's okay. Now you should feel some relief. And then
that's some heal people stuff right there.
You know what I'm saying? Just trying to heal this hurtful ass fucking world.
Oh my God.
Trying, Janet, I'm trying. All I have is jokes.
I'll tell you what, I wanna thank, first of all, it's not all I have. It's not only or all I have, that's huge. Second of all, I also wanna say you did give the world the song All Right.
Yeah, All Right. Everything gonna be all right. Love it.
Not too bad. See how I segued?
Yes,
see how
you
I
did.
Segued?
That's dope.
and then finally, I want you to rest assured you will find out what happened to that gold chain.
Oh, yes.
Because you are going back.
Yes.
To that moment in high school.
You don't.
Where is it? You're gonna find out.
You have no idea how much healing that will heal within me. Could find a way
and your family, it sounds like. Possibly yes, and your family, too.
Exactly, man. Like,
guess what, everybody?
We all have that moment in our life and childhood. Like, we're like, what the hell happened back there? I would do anything to do it over or find out what happened. Yes, that.
You know what I'm going to say? This is my version of that, too, that mm-hmm. ties back into the healing. It's never too late to find something that you lost within yourself if it was there and true.
There it is. With. That's right. There it is. Yes. Snap.
It's not as adorable when I clearly pat myself on the back immediately after I say it.
You just wanted some approval from me. That's all right. I give it to you. That was beautiful. I love it. That would be the funniest therapist ever. You need to just heal your inner child, huh? I got you right.
Why are you smacking me? Why do you continually smack me in the face? I gave you some beautiful wisdom.
I hooked you up. Jesus, I'm a therapist. God, what's wrong with it? So inconsistent. Next client.
I'm so glad that we got to hop back on and do this. This is a pleasure and a joy. I continue to be a huge fan, and I hope we get a chance to hang out together in person.
Yes.
When things are a little, say, more healed.
I agree. I'm for that, man. Viva La Sketchfest and Janet and this podcast. Thanks, thank you so much. So for sure.
My pleasure. All right, everybody, check out all the things. The last thing I think we did last time was I asked if you wanted to give a little snippet of a classic summer song from your life, or just like whatever you've had in your head lately, as a substitute for the song that I am phasing out of, which is Don Henley's Boys of Summer.
Boys of Summer. Yeah, right. And did it have to be a summer theme or something? What was it?
Yeah, but now I'm widening out even more because I don't know what season it is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we're all just kind of like, could be fall. I don't know.
Yeah. So
I'm embracing the uncertainty. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, that's good. All right. So just any song that's in my head.
Mm-hmm. Or if you want to summarize it, if you want to make it a summer song, you can too.
Well, I mean, I just been watching the DMX versus Snoop Dogg versus, so I just been playing a lot of DMX in my head, and I just want to say, X gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you. I don't know what he gonna give you, but whatever he gives you, you should get out his way, because you might not want it. You might not want it. He is a very toxic man, but that's old. You know, that's old school toxic hip hop. But that's all right. We still love him. We understand it was that era, and we're changing now. So it's okay.
That's right. Everything's part of a continuum.
That is my song right there. X gonna beautiful. Give it to you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Nori. I will. I'm pressing a pause, which is really a stop. But I am so glad to have had you on the podcast.
Same. Me too. Thank you for having me back, Janet. This was fire.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
On skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees. Maybe we should move someplace new and build time machines to go get us back.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned, audience supported.